Mark chapter 25, verses 23 through 25. Mark 10, 23 through 25. Get this monkey off my back. This morning, most of us that came here, came to church, the truth be told, we are loaded. I don't necessarily mean... Let me fix that, right? See how your mind runs? See how you think about one thing and I'm talking about something else? We're loaded in the sense that in comparison to many nations, we're really doing okay. Amen. We're doing great. Amen. You woke up this morning, your home was beautiful, and you were safe. You had the opportunity to sit down and eat a well-balanced breakfast. Some of you didn't even walk outside. You simply went into Chris Washington's garage, started your car, and drove off. God is really blessing us, protecting us, and shielding us. But because so many of us are loaded, we come to the house of worship, but yet we are burdened down with some stuff. I don't know what your stuff is, but I came with my stuff. The problem with my stuff is that it keeps moving on my back. It begins to hurt my shoulder, mess up your little clothes because you got this big wrinkle going through it. And the things that we're carrying in life never makes life better. The problem with some people in church is that we don't realize that we're carrying stuff. We just know that we can't do what we used to do, and we don't understand why. When you're born into this world, we're born into sin. And because we're born into sin, we automatically come with some issues, with some stuff. Now, I don't want you to leave this morning by thinking that I'm talking about you. That's why I brought my own stuff. Because it's much easier for you to see somebody else's stuff and to pass judgment on their stuff than it is for you to see your own stuff. And so this morning as we come in, I got ready for church this morning, and whether or not I brought my bag along, I still got my stuff. Because it's still locked up right here. And it's still right here. And so when I came this morning to the house of God, coming so that my burdens will be light and my load will all of a sudden disappear, I saw someone and they reminded me of something that I was going through, and I picked my stuff back up again. I know last week I brought it to the altar, but I saw her or him or experienced it on Monday, and I came back from the altar and got my stuff. Because the truth of the matter is, God was moving too slow for me. I know he says vengeance is mine, but God, I need to help you out. And so we lay it at the altar, but we come back and we pick it up because we don't like the way that God begins to deal with stuff. So we pick it up and we like monkeys, I guess, we decide we're going to carry our own stuff. And so here we are going through life, and God has set us free, but we still carry our stuff. We come to church, and the Bible declares that we have a right to cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares about us. But I like my stuff. I mean, it hurts, but it's mine. It reminds me of what used to be in my life. It reminds me of the things that is going on in my life. And the truth of the matter, I understand I can lay it down, but I like my stuff. I know I come to church and I scream and shout and talk about, Lord, set me free. But I like my stuff. And so in life, all of us begin to carry burdens in life. And so some of us, we dealing with different things. But it's ours. And so what I'm carrying this morning, I got some salt that I'm dealing with. Because I know what the doctor said. But I like my neck bones with a lot of salt on them. So I like my burden. I just been carrying it. No, I don't need to, but I like it. Because this one is mine. And I'm comfortable with it. And so that may not be your burden this morning. That may not be the monkey on your back. But let me go through my stuff and see if I can touch something in you. Because I do have a scale. And every now and then, I have to face me. So I get up on the scale, and I swear that I walk from the bedroom to the kitchen, and that should be at least 10 pounds right there. And so, like a lot of us, we dealing with weight. Now, God created you just how He wants you. But you don't like yourself because you don't look like what somebody else said you need to look like. You made the mistake of reading the newspaper and say every woman needs to be 101 pounds. They fooled you. See, so now you compare yourself against what is in the newspaper and not what's in the Word of the Lord. And so, here you are. God created you. He created man. For the woman, He fashioned you. I can just imagine God sitting down, ooh, I got to get this thing right. And so for a woman, it was just perfect, everything. And now here comes somebody. Because you know you always have them in your life. You got some folk in your life that every time you see them, they running, they exercise. Little health freaks. Can't say I'm kidding. Every time, they try, you need to just drink water and you need to just do this. And so I'm already feeling bad because I know I'm overweight. And now here you are wearing your little tighties, and here you are just left Gold's Gym, and here you are, you looking all right. And so here I am. You want me to drink water? I don't want no water. I want some soda with a lot of sugar in it. That's what I want. Because the truth of the matter is, what got me the way that I am, I'm all right here, I'm all right, is that I love eating late. Hey, you nurse, please. Move that. Amen. Father God, we know that you are healer. And Father God, we know that you have all powers in your hands. And so, Father God, we thank you right now, Lord, for your supernatural healing. We thank you, Lord, that you said that because of your stripes, we are healed. And so right now, Lord, we claim it, we stand on it, we declare it, and we shall see a manifestation of it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My issues with weight is that late at night, I like to get up and snack. I like to get up and eat late at night. I know my burdens that I'm carrying. I know how I got here, and I also know what it takes to get me back. But I like my stuff. I got plenty of stuff this morning I came with. And the truth of the matter is, even though I'm dealing with the weight stuff, every now and then I come to church. And you know they grab them big old Bibles when they want to beat you with it. And they want to tell you everything that's in the word of the Lord. And so I know my stuff, but you always have someone throwing the Bible at you. And Jesus said, and Jesus did. I'm not Jesus. My name is Tony. And Jesus died for me. I didn't die for him. So I got some stuff in that word that I haven't quite accomplished. And so here it is. I go back into my burdens. And you know, I know you don't know about me. So every now and then, more then than now, I need to sleep well at night. That's my excuse. I don't have no issues. I just sleep well. So I drink all day to sleep well all night. I don't got no issues. I know y'all think that, but I don't. And so some of the things that we have to deal with in life, it's the stuff that is handicapping us. And so I know my issues, but that's all right. And then you have financial issues. I told you I had a lot of stuff in my bag. You have financial issues that you have to deal with. And every time you get one step ahead, the plumbing break, the car break, the child look like he wants to break. Something break that sends me back. Now I need more money all over again. And that just gets on my last nerves. And because that's on my last nerves, I have to then, I need to calm my nerves. And so I just want one cigarette just to calm my nerves. And so then we start smoking, trying to get our nerves all calm. We start smoking because if I can just take one pull off it, it'll settle me down. But baby, nothing will settle you down like the word of the Lord. If you really want to be settled down, then you need to get on the word of the Lord. I got some more stuff in here I got to deal with this morning. I'm just talking about me. And if the smoking don't do it, you know we can always get a prescription for everything. Child 2 years old, give him some medicine. I ain't got time to raise him. I just had sex and got him here, but I'm talking to somebody. You just had sex and got him here. Now you don't care. You want to push him off over on the grandmama and over on the granddaddy. That's your child. You need to raise your own child. Don't send your child through life all medicated on some stuff. Why don't you try just a little medication called love? And none of that is working for me. So let me call Poo Poo and Ray Ray now and see what they got to say. So here you are on your phone telling somebody else your business, asking them how you'll deal with the situation. Mind you asking about advice on your child, and their child just got out of prison. What they gonna tell you? We all have monkeys on our back. Mark takes a different angle at it. Mark takes the angle, and Mark says it is difficult, almost impossible, for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You got to watch this. The problem with the rich man is every time something happens, every time you offend someone, I'm sorry, baby, just give him a little money, and I'm sorry. And so you offend someone else, and then every time you offend someone else, you think that money can you retire from the military. Go on, boy. Every time you do something, you want to buy your way out of it. And so what you begin to do is you walk in a situation and you will load it down. You had some stuff that you were carrying, and then you started leaning on money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil, it's the root of it. What money does is show you who you really are. You ever had this experience where somebody came to church, and when somebody came to church, they were one person, and then they got it and they became something else, and you wonder how that person switched, how things begin to go so south on a person? Because money has a way of bringing things out of you. You got to be careful that you don't allow the load that you carry to make you lean on money. Money won't solve your spiritual problems. Your bank account can be loaded and God knocks on your door and say it's time for you to come home. You're going home and your money won't follow you. When is the last time you seen a hearse driving down the street and the bank following it? When is the last time you went to a funeral and somebody loaded up all your possessions? Okay. Baby, when you die naked, you came into this world and naked you going out. And so the only thing that you're going to take with you is your spirit. Amen. Don't put your hopes on money, material things. So Mark begins, I'm going somewhere, be patient and thank you. Mark begins to talk about the rich man. He begins to talk to him, and so there's an analogy that is used, that it is easier for a camel, watch this, to go through the eye of a needle. Now, you have to imagine this as a needle, just a needle. And so what he's saying is that this is the eye of a needle. It is easier for a camel to go through right there than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That's not exactly what, give me my stuff, not exactly what he said. I got to show you what he's really saying. What he's really, I can need all my stuff back because I prayed about it, but I still need my cigarettes back. Don't forget my cigarettes just in case Chuck early in the morning.
All right, pal.
Something happened and I need to say something during the day because I need my money because ain't nothing in there. And yeah, I may need the word. It's a good pillow sometime when I got to, there you go. I need that back, Lord. I know I prayed and I told you to take it, but I really didn't mean it because we're going to have a party tonight over at the May House about 7 o'clock. And I got to hurry up and get it in here before the church folk come because I don't want them to know, bro, man, what I'm really doing. So, hey, bro, how you doing? But watch what he's saying. What he's dealing with, he says, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, you got to get this in order to really understand it, because I know some things in the Bible really doesn't make sense in the natural. So what he's really saying is that now there's a, give him a gate. See, in biblical days, your transportation, you got to get this thing. And biblical, come on up, son. Come. Right here. You got to get this thing. You got to watch this. In biblical days, they didn't have those Mercedes and BMWs and Cadillacs that y'all driving today. Y'all folks got all that money. Y'all rich folks in this truck. Y'all better watch y'all. They didn't have all of that. For transportation, they used the camel. The camel can go across the desert. Didn't have to stop and get no $4 gas, because just give him some water and he'll move on for days. See, everything is biblical, isn't it? And so what you'll do in the biblical days is that you'll get on the camel's back and you'll load up all your little burdens, all your possessions on the camel's back. Now, you had to be concerned about military strategics back then. In other words, if a city, the city behind there, if they messed around and they got in a war with somebody, then you have to make sure that as the enemies come, the enemies couldn't go beyond the gate. So you had a gate that was protecting the city. You with me? Now, watch this now. And so what Jesus is saying, it's easier for a camel to go through the needle's gate. The needle is not a sewing thing, it's a gate. So he says it's not impossible for the camel to go through, but it's real hard. In other words, late at night, when you've been out doing your little reconnaissance, you've been doing everything, and so they'll come in during the day. And so they got the gate right here. And for them to get in the gate at night, they don't want to open the gate, because if somebody's following them, they can walk right into the gate. And so what they have to do is they have to take the camel and take everything off the camel's back. Now, he says, it's not impossible, it's just hard. So you take the camel and you unpack him, and then you've seen camels. Camels have to get on their knees. I'm going somewhere. Camels have to get on their knees, and once the camel get on their knees, and they were once upon a time big, tall creatures, but once they get on their knees, and now they're on all four, and what you'll discover about the gate is that the gate, the needle's gate, it has a little opening. You see my opening right there? God always provides an escape for whatever it is that you're going through. You got to know that God has a way for you to get out. And so the little camel will get on all four and he'll barely get by, but he'll make it anyway. That's some of us today. We are barely getting by, but we're making it anyway. Yeah. And see, what you have to do then, just reach back and bring all your stuff, but you're bringing it to the altar of the Lord. And so this time when you come, you have to lay it at the altar and refuse to go back anymore. And see, what you understand is that it may be tough sometimes. It may be hard sometimes, but I'm going to make it through Yeah, I get tough sometimes. Yeah, I'm carrying some stuff on my back. But every now and then, God will allow a storm to come in my life. And the storm will put me on bending knees. And every time the storm put me on bending knees, it makes me take off something off my back. Yeah, I got a problem with cigarettes, so I unload that. I got a problem with women, so I unload that. And when I get on all four, I find myself humble before God and say, God, if you just help me through this time, I promise you, God, I'll work it out for you. If you just let me get through this time, and God provides an opening for you, and he allows you to squeeze through that thing. And once you squeeze through that thing, you know that nobody got you through but God. And you have to turn around and say, God, I thank you, Lord. Even the storms in my life humbled me. I thank you, God. Even the things that I did was wrong, they humbled me. I thank you, God, because I know, Lord, even though I was heavy laden, even though, Lord, I was carrying a burden, I know that your love lifted me. I know your love got the power to lift me up. I know when I'm dark now, and I can't see no way. Love lifts. You know something about love in the midst of going through something. You got to know that God says, I love you. No. Not John 3:16, where God so loved the world. I'm not concerned about the world necessarily when I'm going through my storm. When I'm going through my storm, I'm glad that God loved the world, but I'm glad he loved Tony too. Aren't you glad he loved Josie too? Aren't you glad he loved Chris too? Aren't you glad that God calls your name and say, I love you, baby. And you better believe that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I'm glad when I'm going through something, I got a friend that's sitting closer than a brother. A friend that knows my name. Don't you hope to be going through something and a so-called friend, you thought he was your buddy, come to find out the Joker didn't even know your name. All he knew was your situation. All he knew you were getting a divorce. All he knew you filed for bankruptcy. I want to go through something knowing that some
somebody knows my name. God knows your name. And because God knows your name, he says, not only do I know your name, I got a plan for you, baby. Listen, don't you quit on me right now. He says, I got a plan for you. Now, what you went through, the thing that knocked you on your knees, you got to know when I knocked you on your knees, I wanted you to look up and see me. I wanted you to look to the hill with coming your help, understanding that all your help came from the Lord. I know you thought you were buying your way out based off that little money you had. Then I sent a storm and it messed up the whole economy. The car that you used to have, it ain't worth nothing. The house that you had, all your little equity, baby, it's dried up. But you gotta know the God that you serve, he never dries up. Better than any 401, 403, SEP IRA, Roth, anything that you got. You gotta know that God says, I'm like a river. I'm just flowing right now. And in this end time, all God is doing is allowing the storm to come. Watch this. He's allowing the storm to come. He's trying to shift from the world into your hand. The Bible declares that God wants to shift the wealth of the world into the hands of the just. Now God says, it ain't about you. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. But because you're connected to me and I'm connected to you, then we are vine and you holy because he's holy. And so because you are, God is saying, baby, I got something for you. If you look in the Bible, every time a major shift was done, it was in the midst of a storm. You've been looking at the economy, reading the newspaper, watching television, and God is saying, baby, you're a child of God. This ain't your planet. This ain't your earth. You belong to the kingdom of God. Why are you worried about what's going on the earth? Don't you know when Jesus returns, the earth is going to burn? But where you going? Heaven already designed for you. Already prepared a place for you. Why are you worried about this old shack down here where the plumbing breaks? Why are you worried about this old shack? A little roof come down and water come. Why are you worried about this shack? The house that you need to be working on is a spiritual house. A house that's going to live forever. A house in which you're willing to say, yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Send me, Lord. I'll go. What do you have for me, Lord? Send me. I may be up sometimes, but send me. I may be down sometimes, but send me. See, sometimes in the midst of you going through some stuff, you may run into something in which you can't get there when you thought that you were going to get there. It's called a little delay. But a delay in life is not always a denial. Sometimes God will allow you to take two steps back because he's setting you up, because he's going to rise you above the storm. You see, the thing about an eagle, and I told you that before, you got to learn how to fly, baby. An eagle is going through something. Every other bird come down low because they're scared. They want to be close. If I fail, I won't fall. Baby, I'm going up to the top like the eagle. Rise above my storm. I ain't worried about failing because I'm tied up, tangled up, caught up in Jesus. I can't fail because I know the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And sometimes when I'm following the Lord, he even leads me in the path of my enemies, and he prepares a table before me, and he prepares a table and says, sit right there. No, God, do you see that person don't like me, and they don't like me? And God is saying, I ain't got nothing to do with who likes you. I'm just got something to do with what I'm getting ready to do in your life. Watch me make your enemy your footstool. You see that one over there that don't like you? Watch me allow you to raise up off that dislike, because God is bad. He's super bad. He's a killer. Have you ever tried the Lord? Have you ever been down and out? I need to talk to about 20 folks this morning. I need to talk to somebody who's really been down and out. Didn't have a friend in the world. It couldn't rely on anything. Your bank account was dry. But somehow you fell down on bended knees. And when you found yourself on knees, you couldn't walk to God. You just had to crawl to God. Didn't care how you looked. Didn't care how you sound. But God, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. I know you may think it's a little drastic. But if you know the hell that was behind me, you'll understand, baby. It ain't drastic, baby. I got a need that only God can meet. Have you ever found yourself in a place having a need that only God can meet? And so he says, come through the needle's gate. I know you've been locked out, but I left a little hole for you to crawl through. Watch this in closing. I like this. He left a little hole so you can crawl through. In other words, when you come in, you're going to be a little dirty. When you come in, you won't come in walking all high and pious, knowing that I did it. See, when you come in, you'll come in like everybody else. Sometimes crying, snot running out your nose, can't stop. All your cuteness gone out the window, but that's all right, God. You know. And so God sometimes will put you down on your face, and he'll bring you in. And when he brings you in, don't you ever forget this about God. God is a restoring God. Satan took some stuff from you. Satan tried to take some stuff from you. But God is a restoring God. You got to know everything that the enemy tried to take from you, God is going to give it back. Job said, I went through some stuff. And at the end of Job, folks say he gave him double for his trouble. Somebody, I'm talking to a Job spirit in here this morning. You've been through hell. You lost everything. Your spouse turned their back on you. My God is going to give you double for your trouble. Somebody's been going through something. Don't you go and get your stuff back. You know, I went to church and I had a good time. But when I walked out of church, that stuff wasn't working no more. So I had to go back to the cigarettes again. Go back to the drinking again. Because that stuff wasn't working for me. Listen to me. You gotta work it. None of it works until you work it. The Bible declares that faith without works is dead. Tell somebody you need to work it. 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 As the deacons come forth this morning, I want to talk to that person that's been going through something. That person that's been carrying some stuff. And you've been looking and looking and looking, trying to see how you were going to get out of something. And what God is telling you is that you've been looking through the wrong gate. You see, this gate is narrow. You can't do it. He says, but I've always placed an escape for you. Somebody's been trying to do it on their own. And God is saying, now surrender. Get that monkey off your back and surrender. So everything that you carry, everything that you came in here with, God is saying, let it go. No, not that relationship, God. I can't let that one go. God is saying, let it go. No, but God, I've been addicted to this for 20 years. And God is saying, let it go. But I got to go through the 12 step. No, God said, one step. I am the way. Step. One step. God can take your life and do an amazing thing. Don't require 12 steps or 6 steps. He says, it just requires you to take one step, and that's for you to believe and take a step of faith. With everyone this morning, not sure about your salvation, with everyone this morning, if you die right now, do you know where you're going? If you're not sure about your salvation, it's you that we speak to this morning. Take one step of faith, and then start all over again. But no, I need to go and fix that. God has said, no, you don't need to fix it. Just come as you are. You can't fix it, but just come as you are. Jacked up, bad credit, rejection, dealing with self. God says, I love you just the way that you are. Come as you are. You can't fix it, don't need to fix it. He says, I'm your fixer. I'm your mind regulator. I'm the heart fixer. He says, come as you are. With everyone, not sure about your salvation. With everyone. With everyone.
Have you been blessed this morning?